Well, praise God. Thank you, Bell Choir, for lifting up that song and filling up the space with the sound of music. Sarah and I have family in town. Yeah, but I think Sarah's in class right now. I think she's in... Oh, she's right there. So I wanted to take the time to introduce the family. We're so grateful in this season of Thanksgiving that we're blessed for family to be with us and for us to worship together. So I want to introduce, and you all know, Reverend Fred Achterup, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, Naomi. We have Yuki, my brother-in-law, Sophia, Trinity, Marjorie, Sophia. I think that's Reverend Shalom. Maya, Mike, and Noah. Yeah, so family's in the house. Well, I've been away the last two Sundays, and it feels like I've been away longer than that, but I'm so glad to be back. I've been away the last two Sundays. Thank you so much for your prayers and support. I was in Portland 2 weeks ago at Exploration 2017. It's a gathering of young adults all across the U.S., those that are exploring their call to ministry, gathering in a place. There are over 300 young people gathering and discerning where God is leading them in their calls to ministry. We had three of our college students attend, so that was wonderful, along with Nicole, our worship and young adult leader. It was an awesome time and space for folks to ask questions of vocation, thinking more about God's presence in their lives, and exploring the questions of, what am I passionate about? And how do I continue to discern and offer up who I am in service in ministry? And last week, a group of us were in Southern California at the Japanese American Camping Board Retreat for young adults. And it's a camping board that oversees the junior high camp where we send our junior high students and the high school Asian American camp where we send our high schoolers. So it was a wonderful time of spiritual formation and a lot of the leaders getting a sense of what it means to be a spiritual leader. So it's wonderful to be back. I'd like to invite everyone, if you're able, to please rise in body or in spirit for today's scripture reading. A reading from Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So as Reverend Derek mentioned, we are in the middle of our sermon series, How Does Your Garden Grow? And we've been talking about this garden metaphor to reflect on what our garden looks like, not only our individual garden, but our garden here at Blinn Memorial. How are we going to grow this garden into a rich and fruitful harvest that will be a blessing not only to folks here, but be a blessing of people in the community and ultimately for the kingdom of God. We've been asking the question, what kind of seeds will be needed? What kind of seeds do we need to plant in the soil? What will we need to do to nurture those seeds that we're going to be planting? What are we going to do to nourish those seeds exactly? And what about pruning and weeding the ground? If we're going to do this, what does it all look like? So the first series, we're envisioning this garden, imagining. What does the garden look like? For some of us who aren't really into gardening, maybe if we were to build an extra room, as Reverend Derek was saying, what would that extra room look like? And if we transfer that over to here, in the ministries of Blaine Memorial, what type of ministries do we imagine doing 1 year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Is it feeding neighbors who are hungry? I know some of us have dreamed of opening up our facility to house those that don't have a place to live. I know there's others of us who have dreamed of building affordable housing units here on this property. Some of you are envisioning your garden, this church community, to be filled with artists who have a space to create art. Then there's others who envision this place to open up our church to community activists and community leaders to host dialogues and conversations. Then there's others who've envisioned even an after-school program here at the church. What do we as a community envision? Then we talked about planting seeds of spiritual engagement. What types of seeds are we planting to intentionally seek out spaces and practices of spiritual formation for all of us? Maybe it's joining a new small group here at the church. Maybe it's meeting with someone more regularly, one-on-one, to have a coffee chat, to pray for one another, to even hold one another accountable in our journey of faith. And then we talked about congregational engagement. What are ways that we could further participate in worship and volunteer in ministry? And then we talked about community engagement. How are we going to be more connected to our neighbors? How are we going to become more aware of issues affecting individuals and community groups? And then a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the hard work of weeding and pruning. Weeding away the things that choke off life, that keep us from doing the work of ministry. What are the certain relationships and behaviors in our life that may be unhealthy to us and to our community? And then we talked about, after all the seeds are planted and watering and the nourishment, we get into a place of waiting. And what does it mean to wait? Waiting's hard. Trying to see some type of result is hard. Oftentimes, we don't have control of the situation, but it's in the waiting that leads us to an invitation to trust God, to trust Spirit, and letting go sometimes of our expectations that we might be holding on to. That brings us to today, in gratitude. There are so many stories in the gospel about Jesus healing people. In today's scripture passage, there is healing, but that's not really the focus. Although people are healed by Jesus in this text, the focus of the story is more about the response and how those who were healed responded to being healed. In the passage, 10 lepers, those with skin disease, approached Jesus and asked him for mercy. But instead of doing or saying something to heal the 10, Jesus commanded them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." The actual healing of the lepers happened as they traveled away from Jesus. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud, loud voice. This one re-entered, came back to Jesus, and offered praise and thanksgiving. Jesus approved. And then he asked the question, "What happened to the other 9 who didn't return? Where'd they go? Were not 10 made clean? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" The other 9 did as they had been commanded. They showed themselves to the priests. They followed Jesus' command. Yet there was only one who came back to lift up praise and thanksgiving to God. What was different? As we ponder and think, what was different about this one? The passage mentions twice that this man was a foreigner, a Samaritan. In the context of the story, those with leprosy suffered more than just the physical effects of skin disease, but they were considered ritually impure and weren't able to enter the temple to worship. In some instances, they may have been quarantined or isolated from the Jewish community. If someone were cured of the affliction, the very first step would be to go to the priest to be checked out and examined. And then if the priest found the disease truly cured, the person then could participate in rituals and sacrifices in order to become clean again. So when Jesus commanded the 10 lepers to show themselves to the priest, he was telling them to start the process that would allow them to regain their status within the Jewish community. All 10 of the lepers were faithful enough to go on their way to the priests, even though there had not been any definitive healing. There's various moments in our lives, God moments in our lives, spirit movements in our lives, pockets of moments and of blessing and thanksgiving, often that we don't recognize. Have you ever been in a season or stage in your life when you fully committed your time, committed yourself, gave your heart to something or someone you deeply cared about, And potentially and possibly there is no type of progress or results. No fruit being bared. But after some time, you might see a little bit of progress, maybe see a little bit of fruit. Have you ever felt that way? What did it stir inside of you? It's in the season and times when we start to see even just a little bit of fruit, even just small results, or seeing the birth of or the start of fruit begins to build a spirit of gratitude. Many of you know that I attended the University of Washington. Before I entered into grad school and seminary, I was a business major, and there was a season of my life where I struggled. I struggled deeply. I loved connecting with people. I did well in my marketing classes and my sales classes. But when it came down to those finance and accounting classes, I just couldn't cut it. And there were moments where I had to drop classes or I even failed those classes. That was a season of my life where I struggled and I thought, I'm not progressing. What am I to do in this situation? Then I reached a moment where I started getting tutoring. I started going to the tutoring center through the Office of Minority Affairs and EOP. I began to progress, and I started to see a little bit of light, a little bit of progress. But as I reflect and think about it now, it's very difficult to see and be aware of those moments of God working in our lives and having a sense of gratitude. Next week, we are gathering a group of families and young adults. We have a Thanksgiving service project. We're grateful that we could partner with Kimball Elementary School, Maple Elementary School, and New Horizons to provide Thanksgiving meals for families in need. For the last number of years, we've been providing for about 10 to 15 families Thanksgiving meals. But we came across a situation, an opportunity to provide for an organization called New Horizons, an organization that shelters and provides meals and a place to sleep for homeless teens. Honestly, we were at a point where we asked ourselves, do we want to do this? Are we able to provide for the 40? We felt like we didn't have the resources to do this. We sent out emails to young adults and some families here at the church, and it was discouraging to the point where we were on the brink of not doing this and telling them we can't provide the meals. But after a number of days, We started receiving a few texts. Hey, I could provide a turkey. We started receiving a few emails saying, I'm able to provide some sides. Just a little glimmer of hope and gratitude in that moment. In closing, theologian and mystic Meister Eckhart says, if in your lifetime the only prayer you offer is thanks, that would suffice. If in your lifetime the only prayer you offer is thanks, that would suffice. Friends and family, what prayers of thanksgiving have we been lifting up? What events this past week have occurred in our lives, with our friends, with our family? Conversations have stirred within you a moment to live up thanks to God. When was the last time you were extremely grateful for something? When did your heart last sing God's praise as a response? Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks that we could be in this place of worship, to come just as we are. Thank you, O God, that even though we may not have the eyes to see your movement or to recognize or be aware of your grace and hospitality, you are still present, God. As we gather, God, we ask that you continue to fill in us a spirit of gratitude. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.